Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Valabha Kirivadhari Gopi Jana Valabha Kirivadhari Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Dhananda Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balabha Girivaradhani Gopi Janna Balabha Girivaradhani Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Dhananda Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Chira Vanachari Jamuna Chira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari J जय गोपीचंद वल्लभ गिरिवर जाजी जय गोपीचंद वल्लभ गिरिवर जाजी Yasoranandana Pachachandaranjana Yasoranandana Pachachandaranjana Jamuna Chira Vannachari Jamuna Chira Vannachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari जय राधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 श्रीपाद परमहंस पार्वती के चार स्तर सत्य श्री श्रीमद भक्तवीरंत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय कंठराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. This is the last text in that chapter, text 65. Marishman etad adyatman parokshena Padarshitam yat paroksha priyo devo bhagavan vishva bhavana bahishmane tadadyatman parokshena padarshitam Yat paroksha priyo devo Bhagavan vishva bhavana Bahishman etad adhyatman Parokshena pradarshitam Yat paroksha priyo devo Bhagavan Vishva Bhavana Bahishmane Tadat Yatman Parokshena Pradarshitam Yat Paroksha Priyo Deva Bhagavan Vishva Bhavana Bahishmane tadadyatman Paro devo Bahishmane tadadyatman Parokshena Padasitam Yaparoksha Priyo Devo Bhagavan Vishvabhavana Manitaratmatman Yaparoksha Priyo Devo Bhagavan Vishvabhavana. Ladies. Arishmane Tarajatman Asitam Yaparoksha Priyo Devo Tadadhyatman Rukshena Padashitam Yadaro Devo Prabhavana Ahismane Tadadhyatman Rukshena Padashitam Yaparoksha Priyo Devo Bhagavan Vishvabhavana Barhishman O King Prachinabari Etat This Adhyatman Narration of Self-Realization Parokshena Indirectly Pradashitam, instructed. Yet, because, paroksha, priya, interesting by indirect description. Deva, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, personality of Godhead. Vishvabhavana, the cause of all causes. Translation. My dear King Prachinabarhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus I have described the story of Paranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. Report by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are many similar stories in the Puranas for self-realization. As stated in the Vedas, paroksha priya eva hi deva. There are many stories in the Puranas that are intended to interest ordinary men in transcendental subjects. But actually, these refer to real facts. They are not to be considered stories without transcendental purpose. Some of them refer to real historical facts. One should be interested, however, in the real purport of the story. Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Factually, the path of bhakti yoga is the path of hearing directly about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. But those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, or who cannot understand them, can very effectively hear such stories and fables as the one narrated by Narada Muni. Now there's a whole long section here it's a glossary of the terms of the chapter. Do we want to look at that? It's about 3 pages of instructions. Anyway, let's see. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurman Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Sunyavadi Paschachade Shatarane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So this ends this chapter. This chapter very beautifully ends with Paranjana, who has become a woman, Vidarbhi, and lost her husband. And then she's instructed by the super soul, who tells her that I'm your old friend. Don't you remember me? This is done in a story fashion. The whole story of Paranjana is allegory that gives for understanding. So Narada Muni gives a clue here at the end that this is a story, but you're supposed to understand the purport and become a self-realized adhyatman, narration of for self-realization, to actually understand the self. So, and Srila Prabhupada comments, there's many stories that are, they're not directly about Krishna, but they bring us to the point, and they're for people who aren't exactly interested or can't understand. One example that comes to mind, of course, is the famous, what is it called? What are they called? The stories about all the animals. Panchatantra, who that was composed, probably most of you know, that there were two sons of the king, right? And they were, they didn't want to go to school. They didn't want to learn anything. So the king was trying to somehow or other teach them. And he just couldn't find any way to instruct them. They kind of burnt out all their teachers, I think, something like that. And then finally one man said, I'll teach them. And so he came to the sons and he said, I said that I would teach you, but actually I don't know anything at all. I'm just doing this to get money. So, but if you cooperate, then we can both have our way. I'll get the money, and you can, you won't have to learn anything. So then he proceeded to tell them all these stories, which are the Panchatantra, which are all full of meaning. So actually, he in a way he tricked them. We were talking about tricking people. There's another classic example. So he tricked them, but he managed to educate them by his clever stories. He gave them so much valuable instruction in the ways of life and the ways of the world. So there are many such stories in the Puranas to gradually bring us to Krishna, to somehow or other make us interested in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport here that, however, one should understand the purport of the story. We see practically that many people receive these stories not through disciplic succession, but just kind of here and there. And even the stories about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they don't get the real purport. I remember meeting this woman, and she was saying that that when Lord Ram came, his life was just full of suffering. He lost his wife, and everything was so horrible. So because of that, just like a lemon tree, for instance. Everybody's seen a lemon tree. these little lemons drink water, and they produce, this lemon tree produces gallons and gallons and gallons of citric acid. We really don't know how it does it. So even a lemon tree has inconceivable potencies. Well, to speak of Krishna. Or our body, you know, that, or you see a starfish, and you break a leg and it grows a new leg. How does it do that? We don't know. We can't do it. Cow drinks water and eats grass and produces milk. Can we take grass and water and make milk? No. No, we can't. We have no idea. We can pollute the milk we've already got. We're good at that. Anyway, sorry. But we can't actually make milk. So Krishna is inconceivable. And fantastic, you might say. People would say that. A blue god? Come on. God's a cowherd boy. He's plus time he can. That's too... it's too unbelievable. But we used to say, yeah, it's so unbelievable that it's got to be true because no human being could have made it up. It's beyond your wildest imagination. We see what people create as God, you know, some old man, you know, with a beard or something like that. Never in their wildest imagination could they conceive of Krishna. So that's the kind of proof right there. But ultimately, these things are revealed within the heart. We have faith in these topics, and we can begin to perceive the reality of spirit, first of all, of our own spirit. People can't even perceive their own spiritual being. Sometimes when you explain, you're not the... I remember one boy, he had read a book, and he said to me, what does it mean I'm not this body? Meaning, like, which one am I? If I'm not this body, which body am I? So even we can't understand ourselves. This is actually the reality of this world, that we're in darkness. We can't understand even who we are, really. If we look in our heart, who am I? Who is this person? We look in our hearts and we see only darkness and confusion. So these things have to be revealed, like we, I think it was in yesterday's verse, he said, Tadvidhi pradipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam. He can impart knowledge, the self-realized soul can impart knowledge. So when we hear these pastimes in the association of devotees, they become powerful, they become meaningful. We can actually understand the purport, these purports. I remember Bhagavad Gita, for instance, is such a powerful scripture that when you read Bhagavad Gita, you can begin to perceive the reality of the world. It just so many things are explained there that nobody understands. There, people generally look at the world and they're trying to figure it out. Since time immemorial, the philosophers, you know, people in general, what's going on here, right? That's what is going on here. Or else, never mind what's going on here. Let's just get it on. Let's just enjoy. Now, one young man in Toronto became a devotee and his mother was upset. And she was, her complaint was, why do you have to know? You know, why do you want to know all this stuff? Why do you want to know who God is? Does it really matter? Is it really important why it's all here or why what's happening? Is there, you know, does it really matter? That was her... You know, why waste your time? Just, you know, enjoy. That was really her mindset. So either people don't want to know. Practically, they're not interested to know as long as they've got, you know, football and whatever, movies. No need to know. I'm busy. I've got my life. But if they do want to know, there's confusion. But if you read Bhagavad Gita, you can actually understand and see what's going on in the world. It's so practical. It makes everything that you see on a daily basis, you can understand through the pages of Bhagavad Gita. It sheds a light. Gita itself says, "Pashyanti jnana chakshusha," that one should see through the eyes of knowledge. So through the eyes of scripture, through the eyes of the pure devotees of the Lord, and by their merciful instruction, by their association, by their powerful presence in our lives, then we can actually perceive what's going on. We can understand the purport, as Srila Prabhupada says, the purport of life, why we're here, what it's for. And gradually we can come to understand Krishna and be interested to serve Krishna. So I guess we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's just like one comment on the first part of that. Yeah, actual intelligence means, what's that? Dukkha doshan or darshanam, to see that there's something wrong with this place. That's really intelligent. They take intelligence to mean that to be skeptical about religion, which one could very easily be skeptical about the world's modern religions, and even their presentation of the worldview is, you know, one could be rightfully skeptical of that and skeptical of religious practices. So then they want to give up the whole thing. But actually, if a person is intelligent and thoughtful, they'll see that something's wrong here. That's Krishna's instruction. What's the first part of that verse? Dukkha doshanu darshanam. Huh? Janma mrityu dravyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. That this is a description of one who's intelligent, is that they see. I remember we were at Mount Rushmore distributing books, and this one Christian, quote-unquote, gentleman was arguing with us and everything, and his statement again was, "God gave us this world to enjoy." And you probably heard this. Anybody else heard this? God gave us this world to enjoy. Is that statement found in the Bible? I don't think so. Anybody? I don't think so. This is just our determination that, yeah, we're going to squeeze some pleasure out of this place. But it's not stated in any scripture. But it shows you their determination, where they say hope springs eternal in this human breast. I'm going to enjoy this place. And I was thinking, God made this world for us to enjoy? That's the best he could do? All-powerful creator, and he puts us in a world where we grow old, get diseased, die. And he gave us this place to enjoy? Does that make any sense at all? That this is the world for us to enjoy? It really makes no sense. But the conditioning, like you were pointing out, our conditioning is so strong. It's like, yeah, well, it's not all bad. Something's good here. There is, when I was just in Toronto, there was a woman that was coming to, you know, taking up Krishna consciousness. And I hadn't seen her, and I asked one of the leaders there that what happened to so-and-so, and she said, well, she couldn't deal with the fact that we said that there's no happiness here. She actually left because she couldn't deal with that. I've heard people leave for a lot of reasons, but that's the first time I've ever heard that one, that no, you know, there is happiness here. There is. There's got to be. I'm sure I've got my friends, my family. Yeah, there is happiness. So your question is well taken, and I think it's all of our problem. It's my problem too, so I probably don't have an answer for you now that I've said all this. But it's our it's the desire of the soul. It comes about because we want to enjoy. We intrinsically know that yes, I can be happy. I can be happy. We don't ever give up. Sometimes people do actually give up on becoming happy, and then they commit suicide. Of course, it doesn't, you know, because they see actually there's no way that I'm going to be happy in any, no matter what I do, and they, you know, they kill themselves. And that's not uncommon, actually. That happens a lot. Certain countries especially, the suicide rates are just astronomical. So they really see no way out, that there's no happiness. So the fact that we're still alive means that there's some hope that there's happiness here. is that a good thing? Anyway. But in another sense, it is good because the light of the soul is still there. Because there is happiness, there is possibility for happiness for us. Prabhupada gives the definition of faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. He gives that as a definition of faith, that there is something better. Intrinsically, we know there's something better than this. So therefore, we stay. The great mistake, of course, is in the conditioned soul is that we keep looking for that happiness in the wrong place where we'll never actually achieve it. So, but if we can have this much intelligence to stay engaged in devotional service, tivrena bhakti yogena ijeta purusham param, that even if one has all kinds of desires, or in this case, the thought that I can enjoy this mature world, one who has sufficient intelligence, if they can stay fixed in devotional service with great force, tivrena, like our temple president, tivrena bhakti yogena, with great enthusiasm, he's always engaged in devotional service. So then that's really our only protection from that, because then we will always be experiencing the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. We'll practically taste the happiness of spiritual life. And we'll see through the illusion. Maya won't have the same grip on us. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? It's a very good question. Anybody else? Yeah. So that's another, that's another answer to this question. Also, is that we can remember where we came from and how much we were suffering, or we can practically perceive this, like you said, meditate on the not nice nature. Actually, I think Srila Prabhupada said that we have to be convinced, we have to become convinced that there's no happiness here. So part of that comes by just mature contemplation of our situation and the world. Please.
Hare Krishna. You had spoken about how everything really is inconceivable. So I was wondering if you can speak to how thoughtfulness comes into play when we accept so many things, even in everyday life, as inconceivable.
Maybe could you explain that a little bit more? I don't exactly get your...
Sure. So when we hear something and accept it as being inconceivable, how do we then thoughtfully try to internalize or apply that knowledge or what we're hearing?
Yeah, that was Nana Kaley was presenting that point, that if Krishna's inconceivable, if everything's inconceivable, why are we sitting here every day trying to understand? I think the definition of inconceivable, what is it? Chinchakuluye bhava natam sarkena yojayat prakritibhya paramyatsha tad achintasya lakshanam, says in Mahabharata, that the definition of inconceivable is that which is beyond the senses. Our senses can't touch that. Just like modern science has so many abilities, but their tools, all the advanced scientific tools, cannot even touch or begin to comprehend what consciousness is. Such a fundamental thing. We perceive consciousness, right? We perceive, but our science can't touch it. So, with those tools, spirit, or even the things that we can perceive of spirit, like consciousness, it falls through the cracks. Our inability to touch those things. So, nevertheless, we are supposed to contemplate these things. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that one should, continually hear about Krishna because that makes the mind strong, and we become attached to Krishna. We become detached from matter, and we become attached to Krishna by hearing. So we do hear these subjects again and again, and we contemplate them again and again and again. But always with the understanding that this is revealed knowledge, and the devotee doesn't have the mood of conquering, as Satchinandana Swami puts it nicely, Vaikuntha crashers. We can't be Vaikuntha crashers. We can't, by our intellect or by any other way storm our way into the kingdom of God. It's only by mercy. Neither can we understand anything. We can't. Just like Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that you can't understand anything. You can't understand this universal form, but I will give you divine eyes, and then you can see. So Krishna is not understandable by us, by our power, but he can reveal himself to us. So always we have that. In our contemplation, in our endeavors to understand, we should endeavor to understand. That's our, what does Prabhupada say? That the transcendentalist is overwhelmed by the task of understanding the absolute truth, or something like that. It's in First Canto that this is just so much to know about Krishna that there's just no time for anything else. I just have to spend so much time. So we hear and we chant, but at the same time, we always have that understanding that by Krishna's grace, When Krishna is pleased with my service attitude, with my love, ultimately, then he'll reveal himself. Then only we can understand. That answer it? So. All right. Thank you very much, dear devotees. We have Harinam tonight, right? Harinam this evening? Okay. Thank you all for coming out on Harinam last night. It was transcendentally blissful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.